In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I have to say, every time I hear that reading from about Samuel, I get a little jealous. I mean, how wonderful would it be if God would just speak directly to us? Amen? Because I have to tell you, that has not yet happened to me. That would have made a lot of my decisions in life a little bit easier, I think. Or perhaps I would have gone to see a doctor for some medication, I'm not sure. But either way, it just seems in the midst of these two readings, what I was hearing was meeting the Old Testament reading and our gospel reading, some examples of how God calls people to follow. And I would like very much for a little more clarity from the boss from time to time, but that's not really how it's worked for me. If it works like that for you, I'm a little jealous. But as I was reading through, Samuel had this, you know, right there, speaking to him. Of course, he thought it was someone else, and he'd go. And then the other thing in the midst of that is he's given a very difficult message he has to carry, isn't he? But he goes and he does, encouraged by his master to give him the fullness of it. And then the other thing that happens, and this feels a little bit more now as I look back on my life, he goes, in the gospel, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, he found Philip. Well, that sounds a whole lot better. If you know, he found him. Most of us say we found Jesus. And not that he was lost, that's the joke. But he found Philip, so that sounds great. And he works through Philip to reach to Nathanael. So we hear that. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth." And Nathanael immediately has a question, doesn't he? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, we hear that, and we don't think much about it. It's a little bit like having lived almost your entire life on the west coast of Florida, and then you move to Valrico. And you talk to people, and they say, "Where do you live now?" I say, "Valrico," and they go, "Valrico?" I said, "Do you know where the Brandon Mall is?" And they're like, "Yeah, it's just past that." Because we're just sort of here, and we're glad to be here, but to the rest of the world, they kind of go by, don't they? Well, Nazareth was a little bit like that. So to Nathanael, he's thinking, this rather insignificant town, you're telling me that the Messiah is coming out of that town? The one that Moses and the prophets wrote about and spoke about, you are telling me that the Messiah is coming from Nazareth? Is that even possible? It was very insignificant. A very insignificant town. Well, to the people who didn't live in it, I suspect. Kind of like Valrico. It's a little more significant to us. So Nathanael just couldn't get his mind wrapped around this concept. How could an insignificant town produce this person who is to be the Messiah? So he's going with Philip, but fully expects to find someone who's probably rather insignificant. But that's not what he found. And we hear a little bit later what he went on to say. And after he questioned it, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And as I was reading through these, reading over and over and over, thinking, well, what there's something significant there in this insignificant understanding of who Jesus is that Nathanael has. And I thought to myself, well, how interesting in this day that very often many people, myself included at one point in my life, would have been more like Nathanael. See, he believed Nazareth to be insignificant because that was his understanding of it that was given to him. His worldly understanding of this place is it was insignificant. So therefore, anything that happens or anything that comes from there probably isn't going to be that good. So we have in our own lives this understanding, our worldly understanding. And we walk through life as Christians. But we walk in a world that is constantly telling us the exact opposite of what our faith tells us. Our faith is telling us, love the unlovable, touch the untouchable, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the world is constantly saying, take care of you. You're what's most important. Look out for number one. You deserve everything you get. The person who dies with the most toys wins. That's the world we live in. And I have to be honest, for a minute there, I felt a little sorry for myself. I said, yeah, and what's my job? To stand and look at the world and say, no. Come see Jesus. And the world goes, him? He couldn't even take care of himself. He thinks everything I do and everything I earn, I should help other people with it. I'm building a life here. I don't have time for this insignificant person in my life. And I'm thinking, well, how amusing is that? That my role in life is to continually tell people, no, this is the way. In a world that is constantly telling you the exact opposite. I shouldn't do that. That doesn't make any sense. Everything, you know, work hard, get what you want, grow, build your house, do your life, get the job, get the wife, have the kids. Then you have to give the kids everything so that they don't feel insignificant around other kids, right? You have to have the right car because you don't want anybody seeing you running around in a junky car. You know, the world just puts all this pressure on us, doesn't it? And then somewhere in the midst of there, somebody comes along and says, well, hey, I found this person that gives life so much more meaning and so much more depth. And they look at that, like Nathaniel was looking at Philip and hearing what he's saying, they're going, I don't think that's really possible. And Philip just says, well, come and see. And that's really what we get to do as the church, isn't it? We get to look out at this world that often sees, and if you everything you read, more and more people are saying there's just no need. Generation after generation falls aside. Used to be a time where people would say, what church do you go to? It was just assumed you did. We now live in a time that if you go and ask someone what church they go to, they may possibly be offended that you would think they would even go to church, amen? We can go out into a world knowing for sure that this Jesus that we know is far from insignificant. But the world will be arguing against us every step of the way, amen? That's the world we live in. But it doesn't make it any less true that Jesus is the Savior. The opportunity for us is actually quite great. So for a moment I felt sorry for myself, and then I thought, how exciting this is. What a glorious time for the church. See, coming out of a history of sales, there is nothing better than finding out that there is an entire group of people who are in desperate need for what it is you have. And that is the world we live in, brothers and sisters. As Christians, we are living in a world that is in desperate need for hope. Amen? We are living in a world that is now understanding that this life that we have is short. And they're looking for something that makes a difference. And you know what? And some of us have found out on our own, and maybe some of you have too, and maybe some of you were blessed and never had to do this. You really cannot buy happiness. You can't. I've tried. You cannot escape the pain and the sorrow that comes from having one of these bodies that comes apart from time to time. We cannot escape the one true reality that this life actually is short. And we cannot escape the reality that even in this world that is very focused on things other than God, very often, there is still a time when each of us stops and wonders, was my life significant? And I say it is. And the opportunity to live in that comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our opportunity to the world, to be Philip to the world, is to say, even in their doubt, because we came with our own, didn't we? Even in the doubt that we see in the world, in the truth of Jesus Christ, like Philip, we can just say, come and see. Just come and see. See what it is I'm trying to say to you. See what it is I'm trying to do to help you. But we have to know that first, amen? And we have to be so sure that when someone looks at us and goes, really? What good could really come from following this Jesus, your invisible God? And we could get very upset about that, and we could get very worried about it, but if we truly know what comes from following our invisible God, Jesus Christ, we can just simply say, come and see. See, the need is there in the world for a Savior. And the Savior is here. And his witnesses are here. So for whatever reason, Nathanael went. And when Jesus saw him coming toward him, he said of him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now we can look into that all we want, but scholars will tell you it probably has something to do with the fact that he came from Jacob, who was a little deceitful, you may recall, in stealing his brother's blessing. But Nathanael didn't have it. And he goes, where did you get to know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And for whatever reason, something clicks for Nathanael, and he replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And even Jesus thought, well, that was a little interesting, wasn't it? Maybe that was just a really quick grabbing a hold of things. And he goes, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? I mean, that's the way I hear Jesus saying it. We read it very politely, but I'm really sure Jesus is like, really, you believe me because I said I saw you under a fig tree before Philip called you? That's really all it took? And he tells him, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He's going to see the glory of God moving between heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. And isn't that how we see the glory of God? And don't others see that too when they can see how the glory of God is interacting through us as we live a life to be Christ-like? Nathanael was moved to the understanding that he was standing before the Messiah. And he believed. If he had not gone with Philip, if he had stayed under the fig tree, maybe Philip would have come back later and say, wow, you really missed it. You should have heard what his teachings were. And he would have said, from Nazareth? Really? But something in the way in which Philip just said, just come and see. What do you got to lose? I know how your life really is, brother. I know you've been waiting for something more. I know you don't have everything you want. I know you carry with you some pain and some sorrow. I know you still have deep within you there's a hope for something bigger than yourself, and that this is actually going to come to fruition, all that Moses had taught and all that the prophets had taught. He knew all those things about his brother, and he just said to him in his doubt, come and see. What do you got to lose? And he went. There's no requirement. Just come and see. And then Jesus, God incarnate, revealed himself to Nathanael's heart and promised him he would see greater things than what he had just encountered. It's really, even in the midst of all that we face, even at a time when I'm not sure I'm going to recognize you when you take your mask off, because it's taken me so long to recognize you with them on. Our opportunity as followers of Jesus Christ is greater than it has ever been. The world is struggling to find hope. The church is struggling to remain hopeful. Your priest wakes up sometimes wondering, what are we doing? But the hope is still here in a simple invitation to someone who may think that Jesus is completely insignificant in their lives and there is no possibility that he would have anything to offer anybody. We, in our knowledge and our sure faith, can just simply turn to them and say, I hear you, and I know what you're saying, and I understand how you're feeling. Just come and see. Come and see.